Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom, shalom, greetings, and bless you. Can I get a hallelujah from my audience? 1, 2, 3.
Hallelujah!
Yes. Welcome, welcome to another show. Bless you all. I'm here. Some of y'all know I turned 38 weeks pregnant today, but I'm still here. Some of you checking on me, thank you so much. I'm doing well, doing great, and we're live. All glory and honor and praise belongs to the Most High Yah. I praise him for everything he's done this week, everything he's done for you, really, for each of you, as if it was done unto me. Hallelujah. Praise him for the safety of all the brothers that traveled to Goshen and back, for all the activity going on. Hallelujah. Praise him for the shade and the AC and the fan. Hallelujah, really, that we have right now, for the water, for the rain, everything. Bless y'all. Welcome to another Sister to Sister. I'm your host, Ashley. I'm here in Tennessee, but I'm jumping to Georgia next. Mother Jennifer there in Georgia. Let's get a sound check.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley, and shalom to you, daughters of Zion. What a good opportunity it is to be here. And, yes, Sister Ashley, I agree. I'm extremely thankful for all that the Most High has provided. like you said, the rain, and, you know, to even see the unity of the brothers come together in Indiana, such a great display of love. It truly warmed my heart to see that. I can hear you very well. I pray that everyone can hear me, and if everything is okay on your end, we can move forward.
We can. Let's bring in our third party, Erica Pomodoro. Bless you. Welcome to the show tonight. Let's get a sound check with the Saints and go ahead and just say shalom.
Shalom. Bless you. This is Sister Erica Pomodoro from the House of Elder Mitchell. I'm very excited and honored to be on the broadcast tonight.
Hallelujah. We are excited to have you. I'm glad that Blog Talk gives us this avenue to bring up multiple, you know, callers and have us all be able to speak so easily one to another. Shalom, shalom, set apart sisters from the submissive servant in the chat room tonight. Bless you. Hallelujah. Hey, 66 days to the Feast of Trumpets, 75 days to atonement. I hope you have your white clothes ready if you want to keep it just like we do, keep our tradition. And 80 days into the Feast of Tabernacles. We're doing the countdown. We have a Be a Blessing list. Mother Jennifer, would you like to read and share tonight, or would you like to post it a different way?
Yes, ma'am. I can go over it, Sister Ashley, and then we will post it as well on our Straightway page on Facebook. I'll go ahead and just run through it. Excuse me. And if you miss something or you need to need something played back, you can listen to this broadcast again, and you can get the information you need. All right, so Be a Blessing list is as follows. 12-ounce styrofoam cups, Hefty Supreme is what we need. Hefty Supreme brand, styrofoam cups, 12-ounce. Hefty Supreme bowls, Hefty Supreme lunch plates, napkins, plastic spoons, Bounty paper towels, 42-gallon contractor trash bags, toilet paper, Clorox wipes, olive oil, sunflower oil, and then we need the number 10 cans, which is the large can of black beans, large cans of pinto beans, the number 10 cans of green beans, and the number 10 cans of corn and honey. So that's the list. If you need to hear it again, you can play the broadcast back again, and you can hear it, and we'll post it on our social media pages as well. Sister Ashley?
Thank you so much. I just gave you a, Sister Aya, I posted a comment in the show. If you miss it, hit me up on an email or a polo, but I ask you, could you do something for us? Thank you for that. All praises to the Most High Yah. I thank him so much for what he's done. He has really, I believe, led this show for all these years, and especially tonight. So, Mother Jennifer, any announcements, any just acknowledgments really briefly before we kick off our conversation?
Like I said, I just want to really acknowledge the Most High just for his mercy and his grace, such a great display of love that we got to see the brothers coming together, going to Indiana, and really helping out, dropping everything and going together and in love. That really was true love that we got to see as women. And I just want to thank the women of Straightway Indiana for taking care of everyone, taking care of all the needs. I told Elder Rufus, I said, it's a really good thing to be able to pack your bag and send you away knowing that you will be taken very good care of. And he definitely was. So he came back raving about the hospitality, and I just want to thank the women of Straightway Goshen. So blessings to you all. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, I wanted to also give everybody an update. Deacon Bell's doing well. Spirit's encouraged. He's still at home. I don't think he's ever been home this long, recovering from an injury or an inflammation in his knee. He went from two crutches to one crutch, from one crutch to a cane, and now tries to walk around as much as he can without it. It's been a blessing in disguise for his family. He's been very, very involved in the direction and the discipline of his sons. It's really, really been wonderful for us, but not for him, not for the one in pain and the man who wants to work. So please keep him lifted. He is recovering, and he's much, much better as the days and weeks go on. So it's just been slow progress, and I'm thankful to the Most High Yah for keeping him and restoring him. We never You never know. You don't want to take advantage of something as small as walking, lifting, moving, breathing. You just don't ever want to take advantage of that. You never know when it's your last time. And when you go down and when you're in pain or you're hurting, then you get to understand that acknowledgement should always be in our heart. So I praise the Most High Yah for every life, every breath of life that he's breathed into every soul, into every child, into every womb. I really appreciate each of the mothers that are pouring into their children. And tonight we're going to talk about a very powerful subject in a way that we never have, which is why I have Erica Polidor on here. Erica, go ahead and say hi again. Your sound check is perfect. I can hear you clearly. And just briefly give an acknowledgement and a shout out to those you love.
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. It's an honor, like I said, to be on the show tonight. I pray that everybody's edified and encouraged. I give thanks to Yahweh first and foremost for his mercies that renew every morning, for his leading, for his guiding, for his Holy Spirit within us. I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for prayer and for everything that Shepherd has been teaching us. I'm grateful for Shepherd. All the broadcasts, Patreons, YouTubes, all the spiritual warfare teaching that he's been giving, especially as of late, has really impacted me, especially, you know, speaking life, speaking prophetically, being more involved in prayer and utilizing the angels more. All of it's been very encouraging. I'm grateful for my master, and I thank Yah for his leading and his guiding. I'm grateful for his sacrifice. He does a lot for the whole, for everyone else, for his family, for the saints. And he's a very selfless man, and I'm grateful for the example that he is to me. And I'm grateful for all my moms, my mothers in Israel. I'm thankful for my mom, my sister Nelly, or Mama Nelly. I'm also grateful for my, you know, Mother Carol and for Mother Jennifer and for all my moms who have poured into me. So I'm just grateful for all of leadership and everybody who's had a part in pouring into my life.
Yes, beautiful. I've watched you grow. Hey, from a young girl coming in to now a woman with children, three children, and more to come. So I acknowledge the Most High Yah for your growth, and I give him all the glory and the praise that he's deserving of for the work that he's done in you. So tonight, no, we're not talking about community, though each of us live on different communities. I in Tennessee, Erica in Kentucky, Mother Jennifer in Georgia. We live in common unity with the body and the believers. We share life. We share daily bread. We share prayers, fasting, and many other things with the body. So we're coming from a collective mind, a unified mind. But tonight, I want to start off our conversation by reading a quote. This book actually comes from the ICE. I'm sorry. This quote comes from the ISIS papers. It's The Keys to Colors by Dr. Francis Wessling. This book is absolutely unrelated to tonight's topic, but it does have something that's very powerful. You won't hear me really say the spirit of Python or marine spirits tonight, but believe me when I say it's all connected. We're right in vain with what Pastor spoke of, even on Shabbat. If I can remind you, he spoke of the disdain that a woman might have for her husband. Tonight, we speak more of the disdain that you will have towards your children. Remember Ezekiel 16:45 that says, "Thou art thy mother's daughter that loathe her husband and her children." Okay? Loatheth her husband and her children. Let me look behind that real quick. Let's see what that means. Yep. Detests, rejects, abhors, fails, cast away her children and her husband. Okay? So remember, it's in the heart. But it's a different angle. I know that you'll be intrigued, okay? And I know that we could all really, really gain from tonight. All right, Sister Alex, it's page 259, but I won't verbatim read word for word from these quotes, but I want to build from this, all right? Mother Jennifer, Sister Erica, are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Thank you for your time. All right, it says, and I'm going to read this a couple different times so that we can all get it, all right? It says high-level reading, and I don't want to lose you, okay? So if you don't catch it the first time, I'm going to repeat it. The levels of collective self-respect that a people carry can be determined accurately by the standard of care and development it demands for all of its young, the future of the people. I'm going to say it again. The levels of collective self-respect, that means the level of collective self-respect that we all have as a ministry, it says the level of collective self-respect that a people carry can be determined accurately by the standard of care and development it demands for all of its young and the future of its people. Okay, so take away your idea of self-respect and self-consciousness and self-growth for yourself. Everything you're doing for you, take that completely away from the scenario and say to yourself, whatever standard of care and standard of development that I'm demanding or ensuing for the youth of Israel, the future of this people, that's what's going to determine accurately my care, my respect, and my self-consciousness. So it's actually measured by the children, okay? So not by us, not by good words of speech or knowledge or Bible studies or midnight oils you might spend. It's your love for the future of your people, okay, according to this book. A few more quotes and I'll build, and you guys, Sister Erica and Mother Jennifer, just take it in, and I'll ask you where your hearts took you when I was reading. But it says, it is virtually impossible in the 20th century for 99.9% of male and female persons to raise children who will be emotionally strong, stable, and capable under the stress of this racist society. Okay? Now think about that again. It is impossible for teenage male and female people to raise children, which y'all know a lot of teenagers are doing. Okay? It's impossible. So let's remove the teenage fact and just say how emotionally strong, how emotionally stable, and how capable of functioning effectively are we training our children? It says 25%, if not more, each year of all children born in the USA are born to teenagers. Okay? Consider that a ratio and say, look at the minds of the people that are developing the next generation. All right, back to the book. It says, this means at least those 25% of children will suffer in terms of development. Because if you got 25%, they're just throwing a number out. If you have 25% of your children being raised by teenagers, then they'll be impaired in their potential to function effectively under any stress of this society. And y'all know that we're in a war mentally. Our ministry, our minds, the remnant, the believers, our faith, everything under attack. So we're training our children to function with maximum development. Okay? So, once again, how we train them, our demands for the young, the future of our people, will actually collectively determine our standard of care and our love. Mother Jennifer, I'll go to you first. What's your thoughts?
I think about, you know, in order for our children to function, with maximum development, you have to really listen to the truth. You know, our shepherd always says, you know, before coming this way, you didn't realize how much you do not love your children. You know, you didn't know. There's a lot that you didn't know. There was a lot that was not being poured into them. And if you want them to be successful in their roles, then you have to teach them how to be in order. And it's not by what you say, it's by what you do. You know, those are the things that they're going to actually follow, what you do. It's not the words that you speak. They're going to look at your example, and that is what they're going to follow. So in order for them to function with maximum development, you as a mother have to function with maximum development. Sister Ashley?
Thank you so much. Good input. Let's go to you. Sister Erica, did anything really jump out at you or come to your mind and spirit when I read those quotes?
Yes, ma'am. What comes to mind is the need to diligently train our children. The word time and time again repeats it to us, to diligently teach them, and it says to do so diligently, and that word is very very important to key into, but diligently teach them, and it constantly is reminding us to train them up in the way that they should go. All of that takes a lot of time, effort, energy, patience, and a lot of selflessness, because you have to love them more than you care about your own wants and desires. And so putting that as a high priority in your mind and spirit and really becoming selfless to pour into them at 24/7, you know, when they're before you, teaching them, training them in everything that they do throughout the day, and also warring for them spiritually as well.
Hallelujah. Because the snake actually tricked the woman, however deceived or willful she may have been, with its subtlety, the Most High Yah said to the woman, "What have you done?" That was the conversation. What have you done to the woman? Of course, the woman blames and says, the snake tricked me, and I ate. I'm building up to where a curse and a point that we even, you know, brought out months ago on the show. We'll revisit at the very beginning of tonight's episode. And the Most High Yah said to the snake, because you did this, because you did what? You tricked. Okay? Because you did this, you are the one who was cursed. Out of all farm animals, out of all the wild animals and the beasts of the field, you are going to be cursed. On your belly, you're going to crawl, and dust you will eat every day of your life. That doesn't affect us, but the next statement does. Most High Yah, what did you say to the serpent who tricked me from the very beginning? That I will put contempt between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. I will put a disdain and a hatred between you two, woman, snake. Okay? They will strike your head, you will strike at their heels. They will strike your head. You will constantly have afflictions in your mind, thoughts, negativities, oppositions. You are now cursed. You will have a fight that you never had before. You will strike at the snake. He will strike at you. This is the war of being a woman. Now, mind you, this curse has been translated into the minds of many women differently. I don't see it as the end. I do have to build up my resilience. I have to build up my strength. I have to prove my love for the Father. I have to war very hard. I don't have to expect a man to understand my journey or my weakened vessel. Okay? I don't have expectations for him to be in my shoes, per se. I'm fighting on my own, as we all are. When we consider this conversation between the snake and the woman, it hasn't stopped. Right, Nadia? You war against the snake, right? You war against the snake, Gigi? Yes, we all do. You call it Hasatan, you call it negativity, you call it demons, whatever it is, you have to war. Just like when he said to the man, or to the, because you listened to your wife and you ate from the tree, cursed is the ground because of you, and in pain you'll eat from it every day of your life. So this man now has to have weeds and thistles that's going to grow around, have sweat on his face, and almost, if I can put it in my own words, the feeling of being consumed by life and never getting a one-up, you know? Being a provider, but damn, stand under the standard. I'm not saying in Christ. I'm just saying he has a different mental war. All right, so tonight we embark in this conversation because sisters become mothers. Women become mothers. We birth male children, and we birth female children. And somehow in this dynamic of this contempt that was put between the woman and her and the snake, and between our offspring and his offspring, between all this war, you now have some women that are believing we're cursed to be born, that it is a curse to be a woman, that it is a curse to bear a female child. That's tonight's topic. When polygyny was first introduced into the truth in the minds of the saints of the Most High, many women heard the same voice, that it was a curse to be a woman, because the war is so delicate, intricate, heavy, oppressive. When you're weak, how easy is battle? And we have a label called weaker vessel that's not going to go anywhere. Okay? So we hope to bring about a good conversation tonight. I said a lot, but it's going to make a lot of sense when I dive into the minds of Mother Jennifer and Sister Erica Polidor, both of them being wives and mothers of daughters. Hallelujah. Y'all look forward to the conversation? And everybody says absolutely from behind me. Praise y'all. Let's go to Erica. Erica, you walked up to me on last week. Great to see you, by the way. Thank you to Elder Mitch, who has pulled you to a nice secluded location where you could hear us from your internet and everything be really secure and stable. And saw you guys last week, and you approached with kindness and entreating, saying you would love to share something that's been on your mind, something that's really stood out to you. I knew it was Yah inspired, and that's why we're here. So you walk up to me at the laundry line, and if you don't mind, kick off the conversation from your angle and your perspective. Say anything, go anywhere, Sister Erica, but tonight's show is based on your obedience to the Most High Yah and coming to me and talking to me. So thank you so much. You got the mic.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for the introduction of the topic. So I'll just start off with just sharing some of the challenges that I have faced being the mother of daughters and how I've overcome those thoughts in my mind. I've always desired to bring forth a son for my master and sons for him, multiple sons. I do believe it is a righteous desire to want to bring forth seed for our masters because they, you know, that seed, that's something that can build up a man's home. But some of the challenges that have come with that is fearing that I would not be able to bring forth a son for my master. Fearing that I would not be able to bring forth more sons for my master, even after his first son that's been born from me. When I was pregnant, I would be challenged with thoughts of letting others down or others being disappointed at me for not bringing forth a son, and then feeling ashamed if I brought forth a daughter instead, and with the accusation, you know, that people wouldn't be as excited if I had a daughter instead of a son. At some point, I was even discouraged at the responsibility that comes with having a daughter as a mother, being that as a mother is most responsible in making sure that that daughter is raised the right way. But how I've overcome a lot of these things is first, surrendering myself to Yahweh's will, realizing that I'm not in control and that His will be done. Whatever I bring forth is because it's in His perfect plan. So I've surrendered this into His hands. Paying more attention to the value of a daughter and being excited, more excited within myself, despite of any outside discouragement that may come from others. And also becoming just more selfless overall, just becoming more determined to train with all diligence and viewing it as more of an honor to have been entrusted to raise up a daughter for the kingdom of Yahweh, and understanding that these daughters are the future wives and mothers in Israel. You know, they're the next generation if raised in righteousness. And one of the reasons why I was very pressed to bring it up was because I've had my own challenges and I've been able to overcome them. But I've noticed that these challenges are really common amongst other women in the ministry as well, and some of them have yet to overcome these things. And so I've seen women challenged, you know, when they're pregnant, you know, with the same thoughts, or women who have had multiple daughters. They have certain thoughts that they're challenged with as well. And one thing that I've been encouraged to do is to just be very positive for the mothers that are having daughters, you know, reminding them of the honor that it is to be entrusted with a heavy but honorable responsibility, and of the beautiful relationship that can be had with daughters, and to be more excited, more joyful for the daughters that are being born, rejoicing because it is worthy of something. It is something worthy to be rejoiced of, you know, just as we rejoice for sons being born because they are seed, and rightfully so that it should be rejoiced. We should also rejoice for the daughters who are the future mothers and wives in Israel. And so that's pretty much it in a nutshell. That's what has been pressed upon my spirit to bring up.
Very good. Hallelujah. And as Granny Diane has always reminded us, it's the husband's sperm that determines the sex of the child. Woman, you have nothing to do with it, right? So let's go to Mother Jennifer. Let's get your mind, Mother.
You know, Sister Ashley, this is a very good topic. It really is because, you know, like you said, women, we are called weaker vessel for a reason, and we can hear the teaching, and we can hear, you know, the teaching about a man's seed, you know, and the value of that. And because a woman is a weaker vessel and we listen emotionally, we could think that in your mind, you could think that Pastor Dial is speaking down on women, and he's not at all. You know, you really have to learn how to strengthen your hearing, strengthen the way you listen so that you can strengthen the young daughters so that they don't walk around feeling rejected or neglected or unwanted. It's very important to strengthen your thoughts and your mind. I remember very early on in the ministry, I was listening to a deliverance teaching, and it was talking about a spirit of rejection and how rejection can enter in from the womb. You know, a woman finds out that she's pregnant and she tells someone who is not in favor of her being pregnant. And as soon as they find out, they voice their disdain for her pregnancy. And immediately rejection can enter into the womb from there. So think about, you know, a woman who gives birth and has a daughter. You know, think about seeing the disappointment, you know, that child feeling or seeing the disappointment of the fact that she was born a little girl. Think about the rejection that can enter into that child from there. So when you understand spiritual warfare, you understand spiritual things, you understand the battle that these daughters, you know, have to fight. Think about the battle that you have had to fight as a woman. You will mature your listening and you will mature your hearing. And then you will be able to properly guide the daughters in the right direction. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Unto the woman, Yah said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. A lot of people have believed that it's labor and labor pains. I personally have a different opinion of sorrow. If you're a mother and you've been a mother long enough to feel the sorrow of being a mother, then you would know that it's much more multiplied sorrow in raising your child than the moments of labor pain, okay? It's just my opinion. It's worrisome, right? It's a fight. For certain, each of us had a fight growing up as a young daughter, you know, from some being promiscuous, some being obviously insecure and rejected, you know, spoken down to or physically abused by mother and father, or most of the time never having a father, and for some melanated children, many of you, raised by grandma, right? And so all those circumstances were your war, but every one of our children have their own war. They're born into this. Like Pastor says, there's no discharge in this war, so he doesn't hold back his speech even with children in the environment. The children have to find their Yah, be covered by the blood, seek the Holy Spirit, and have their own testimony. So as a mother of children, you'll notice if you move out of the way and trust Yah with your child, that child is building their testimony. They experience hate, even from saints. They experience rejection, even from Israel. They experience weight problems, insecurities, inferiorities, rejections. All of them do. Yours are no different. Mine are no different. What we can't do is idolize any of them or exalt them above who they really are. It's just another human, a saint, special, yes, but literally born to be trained and taught by you, by us. So as we progress forward, I would like Mother Jennifer to pull up an email. And what we'll do is I want to hear from Erica too, Mother Jennifer. So bring out, we have one, two, we have three emails. These are, actually we have four emails. Save the one that's currently pregnant, if you know what I'm talking about, and use the three that we know are mothers of daughters, okay? And just read until you find a good stopping point to get Erica or my mind, please.
Yes, ma'am. Many women believe that their daughters are beneath consideration and worthless. I have often heard women say that daughters are too much work and too emotional to deal with. I have heard women say that they don't want any daughter. They only want sons. Or, I don't want a daughter because she will have to be with me all the time. I personally believe that women with negative thoughts and comments on having daughters truly hate and reject themselves in some area. Daughters are a direct reflection on you, of you. They are walking mirrors. Everything you do and say, and even the things you hold in your heart, is embedded in the molding and upbringing of a daughter. Most women refuse to see the wickedness in their own heart. So when they see themselves in their daughters, they hate it. Then they despise their daughters in their heart and fall into agreement with the negative thoughts and beliefs about having daughters. Daughters are truly a gift given to you to strengthen you in areas you didn't know that you needed to overcome. I'm truly grateful for the opportunity to pour love, guidance, wisdom, and correction into my master's daughters and also the young daughters around me. I desire for them to be better than me. Our daughters are delicate and very impressionable and need mothers and women surrounding them who will die to selfishness and train them up in love. Blessings. Sister Ashley?
Erica, please give your mind on that email.
Yes, ma'am. So what stuck out to me was when she mentioned daughters being too much work, too emotional for some women, and therefore them not wanting daughters, not wanting them around 24/7. And I'll say having a daughter is a lot of responsibility, and it is a lot of work. But that's where we have to put selfishness to the side. That's where we have to die to self and just be determined, knowing that this is our mission given from above, from the Creator himself, to train up these daughters in the way that they should go and to raise them up to be righteous women, righteous wives, righteous mothers. They are the next generation of wives and mothers, and it takes our diligence in training them in order for us to see that good fruit that we can rejoice in later. We need to put self to the side and realize that it is actually a very beautiful thing to see, for them to be a reflection and a mirror of us, because it helps us to grow and become stronger in our personal walk with the Most High. Me having, you know, my daughters, especially the first one, the oldest one, who I've had, you know, for going on 7 years, having her has really helped me to see myself in so many ways that I know I wouldn't have been able to see myself without her, because she is a reflection of me, because she is a mirror of me. And I've been able to get so much freedom and deliverance, and I've been able to grow so much because of it. You know, when I would see myself in her, you know, the negative things, I would hate it, but it would motivate me to want to be better, so I wouldn't see those negative things in her anymore, you know, because of them coming from me. It would make me want to get free and be a better woman, be a better wife, be a better example, so that I can see her, you know, being a better daughter too. And it takes a lot of time, energy, and effort, like I said, and a lot of patience. Because sometimes it can get discouraging when you're not seeing the fruit right away, like the very next day. That's where you have to be determined and stay diligent. It is a 24/7 job, like I said before. And with that diligence, you will eventually see the fruit if you don't get weary in well-doing. And once you see the fruit, like I said, it's something to really rejoice of, you know, knowing that, like I said, Yahweh is well-pleased with that when you're able to raise up a righteous daughter. Like I said, to be a righteous wife one day, a righteous mother one day for the next generation. So yes, that's what I can say about that.
I'm enjoying hearing both of you, and if we just even start from Genesis and walk our way up, you'd be very surprised at the Most High's view of women and daughters. It's not the yes, we're weaker, or yes, we have a wicked nature that must be tamed and come under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. If Pastor says every man wants a male seed, great, right? But don't hear it with the rejection that you have inside of you, not accepting your own self. So the passivity and the rejection and the laziness that we have as women that would actually lay down for pleasure and rise up to have a child and only have passive, rejecting, lazy techniques to mother that child is very imbalanced for our character. It ought not be, right? So consider Genesis when he said, be fertile and multiply. There was no instruction to just have only male sons, right? And that sounds really base, like, Ashley, okay, you ain't got to say that. No, really, that's how this spirit, that's how powerful its voice is, to make you believe that we only just need one gender, when I've heard women want male seed just so it can go with daddy. Like, how lazy are you? We have to really question ourselves. When the Most High said, or when the human one said, when Adam said, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. You know how cherishing that is? I give you your own name, that you are part of me. You're a bone of my bone and a flesh of my flesh. I will not reject you. I know we feel the opposition. I know we do. Why? Because there's contempt between the woman and the offspring and the head and the heels and the serpent and the whole nine yards, the whole war, right? So you have a woman child born into you or give birth into them, or just the perpetual motherhood that's required of you, you step up. You step up, right? And I'm not speaking from experience. I don't mean that. I just, when Erica spoke to me of some of the things that she's seen and heard, I was in awe. I did not know. I guess, okay, I have three sons. I did not know this existed. I do know my mind, my first pregnancy was different than now. I did have more fears of having a girl child, but it's exactly what the email just said. Because you didn't want another you. But guess what? If I have another me, I'm going to know how to deal with her. Right? So I really hope this helps you guys see how this serpent and us, we're really, really at war. It's all over the earth. Tell us, Sister Erica, what you even found in your research in other countries.
Yes. I had watched this documentary a while back called One Child Nation. And basically, it was talking about the one-child policy in China, and it lasted from 1980 to 2015. And because most people were only allowed to have one child, especially in the cities, a lot of them had the preference of having a son, you know, for many different reasons. You know, the son is in addition to the family, the man's home, whereas the daughter will leave. He's in addition to the father's home, whereas the daughter will leave and become a part of another man's family. So because of that, most people preferred male children over female children if they could only have one. And so because of this, it's a very sad documentary. You've seen a lot of people would abandon their baby girls. They would have them in secret and then abandon them in boxes on the side of the road, leaving them to die, because then people would walk by them and want nothing to do with them. And so many little girls would either be aborted or would be left to die on the side of the road after birth. And it was because of, you know, their preference of having sons. And so what ended up happening because of that is now you have an imbalance. You ended up having an imbalance of more men than women in that nation. And India is very similar. Because of their preference, there would be a lot of abortions of daughters, of girls, and they had the same issue, more men than women, leaving a lot of men alone, very lonely. And, you know, the Bible speaks that it's not good for a man to be alone. And it just reminds me of the importance of us having daughters. You know, in that email, it said that some women don't want daughters. And if everybody just wants sons, as beautiful as a thing as having sons is, but if everybody just wants sons and we lose balance of that, then we end up not having enough daughters to marry these sons. And in order to continue our nation and for these sons not to be alone and to have righteous wives, we need to have daughters in Israel. One of the things in the article, it said also that men were forced to look outside to marry foreign women. And, of course, we don't want that either. We want our sons to marry righteous women in Israel. But, of course, that's going to take our diligent training. Women wanted to bring forth sons because of that being an addition to their husband's home, whereas a daughter is, and it will be an addition to another man's home. But that, you know, that's a very selfless deed when you're raising a daughter knowing that she is not going to stay with you. She's actually going to go away and build up another man's home. But it's a very selfless deed, and you're doing it, like I said, for the kingdom of Yah. You're doing it as a service to the Creator himself. You're doing it as a service to Israel as a nation, because it's building up. It may not build up your husband's home when she has to leave, but it'll build up Israel as a whole. And I think if we keep that in mind and the importance, and like I said, the heavy but honorable responsibility that we have been given as mothers, especially of daughters, if we always keep in mind what our goal is in raising these daughters, you know, the diligence that we need to have, we can wake up every day knowing that I got to train this daughter up to be righteous, you know, to be a good wife, to become a good mother. And that starts from the time they're able to walk around and comprehend even Salome's age, which she's only a year old, you know, training them now, you know, out of those stubbornness and out of those, you can say, wicked natures that they're all born in. And the word, yes, it does speak of the wickedness of a woman in many places, and it's very true. These daughters, if left to themselves, can become very wicked. You know, like a lot of us were, and still overcoming that wickedness. But we also should remember the many verses spoken of in the Bible that speaks of the gift that a woman can be, and it speaks of the virtuous and capable woman. It speaks of the good wife that she can be in ordering her home. It talks about you know, how she can be far above rubies in price. It talks about the woman that rejoices her husband and brings a man peace. It talks about the woman that is a tower against death to her husband. It speaks about the honest woman who reverences her husband, the shamefaced woman. So it also speaks of these positive attributes that these women can have in building up a home, like Proverbs says, building up a man's house, building up a man himself. But that can only happen with the proper training and the diligent training from us mothers. So I know I veered off a little bit, but pretty much when I seen those facts, you know, that men were missing out on wives because of it, it just reaffirmed even the more so the value that our daughters have in Israel. You know, they are the future wives, and if we're going to restore our patriarchal heritage, and especially with polygyny, you know, we need more daughters than sons so that these sons can have, you know, multiple wives. But if we have more sons and not enough daughters, then, you know, then they're left alone. So that's pretty much what I had read on that. I have a few other things, but they're statistics and facts, but they're a little bit off topic from what I've just mentioned.
Yeah, save them. Thank you so much. Everything that you brought tonight, I like to take it slow. So, Mother Jennifer, probably so much going through your mind, but let me say this to you. If you have thought or heard within yourself that daughters are too much work, or that being a woman is cursed, or daughters are too emotional to deal with, or you don't want a daughter and you hope for a son, is it wrong to say you need to repent?
You definitely do need to repent. And that is the only way that your mindset will change. And when you have those thoughts, daughters are too much work, it's because there's an area in your life, like, you know, the letter I just read that talked about how the woman will see something in their daughter that they have not dealt with personally within themselves. They carry that same trait, that same characteristic, that same evil, and they see it in their daughter. And so they reject their daughter instead of really fighting and teaching them how to battle that particular sin or that particular spirit that they're dealing with. So, you know, we're talking about daughters being raised up, but we need daughters to be stable in mind. We need them to be solid. We need them to be secure. And, you know, when they have a presence of a mother who is secure, a woman who in her mind is very sound, you know, when they have a presence of a father in their life, a father in the home, a man who truly loves Yah and they love their daughters, they can be loved and they can actually overcome. But it really starts. It starts with you. It starts with the woman. You have to make sure that you are fighting these things. Make sure that you are repenting. If you have hatred in your heart for your daughter, you have to first admit it. Admit first, you know, if you have hatred in your heart for yourself, you know, things that you despise within yourself that you have not dealt with, and help your daughter overcome those things. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. So I want you to go to the next email, but give me just a moment. We are in a war as a woman individually. We are all in a war, but the war doesn't define us. I'm not defined by my war. I'm defined by my victory, right? And my victory is the virtue, the transformation, the submission, all the things that are required out of me scripturally. That defines me. So when you're in a war and you're having these hates and these, you know, these passivities and these rejections and whatever this opposition is coming from Python, coming from these serpents, coming from whatever kingdom you want to lay claim to, that war does not define you, okay? Your victory in Jesus defines you. Erica has said women left to themselves become very wicked. Y'all remind me not to share a run-in I had today when I was out with my niece. I was not out with her, no way. I ran into my niece for the first time in 7 years. Y'all remind me. But you get your strength and your confidence as a woman in producing the virtue of the word. Okay, so you get your strength and your confidence in producing the virtue of the word. So when you see confident women in your life or strong and confident women in your life and you wonder how can you get there, it's not swayed by the tone and the truth of pastor. It's not swayed by the tone of the devil, by the voice of the devil, by the voice that said, didn't Yah say so-and-so and so-and-so? Ain't he always coming like that anyway? Man, you trying to go, you're going this way, you're going straight, you got, you know, Yah's promise on your mind or the word on your mind, and he's going to come with the total opposite. And he's going to tempt you with the feeling to make you believe it. So we're, our strength and our confidence is produced by the virtue of the word. Okay, don't be swayed by the tone and the truth of pastor's voice. And it's to build you and to strengthen you, and most definitely humble yourself and repent time and time again, never, ever failing to repent 7 days a week for how you feel and what you hear. This is how you get strength and confidence. This is how you get victory, by humbling yourself, not allowing the voices, the thoughts, and the feelings that you have to continue to return to your vessel, okay? Hallelujah. Let's go to the next email, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. This sister says, thank you for this opportunity to share my heart concerning daughters. I do not take it lightly. The first thing that comes to mind is striving to not make the same mistakes as those before me did. Before Straightway, I blamed my natural mother for a lot, as I made many mistakes myself. It wasn't until our Abba Yah got a hold of me and showed me that I was not only wrong, but that I was worse in many ways. When true repentance came and I apologized to my mother, this caused me to look at our oldest daughter and our relationship very differently. I had to see myself truly. I knew many changes had to occur to give her a different outcome. My master's home is now blessed with 3 daughters, and I am continuing to learn and mature in Christ. There is such a bigger picture than just the here and now. Secondly, what is on my heart is the pleading to the Father and the passion I have for not only their virtue, but for all the young virgin daughters of Zion. With having the past that I've had and not saving myself, the cry of it being different for them yearns deep within. I have to do my best, but always remember that they are not mine. They are Yah's and my master's seed. Having daughters also causes me to be thankful because the daddy they have is such a night and day difference compared to the natural father that was not in my life. Cannot ever forget the Most High's mercy in that alone. Lastly, my master has helped me to realize, along with the word and righteous examples before me, that I'm not their friend. It is written in Sirach 30:7-8, a parent who spoils their children now will end up tending to their wounds and will experience heartache at every outcry. A horse that is unbroken turns out stubborn, and a child, when given free rein, turns out reckless. The focus has to first and foremost be on what the child actually needs. A lot of times, it takes the extra effort. There is a balance and a time for much tenderness and softness with them. The time, though, for sternness has to prevail over anything their flesh wants to take control of. I'm still learning every day how to properly love them and not interfere with my master's correction or standards. So his home is in order, and they can have a clear example before them instead of confusion. And for the times that I do fall short, may they see me humble myself and get it right with sincerity. In closing, I'm grateful to prepare these young daughters to be future helpmeets. Thank you to our mothers and sisters who give us real love and examples. We truly have to be taught. The instructions in Titus 2:3-5 echo on the importance of our mentors. I admire the Yah in them, the righteous men who pour into them, and the wisdom they impart to us all. This endeavor cannot be done without them. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I'm encouraged with a few women, the virgins, the maidens that I have in my life or that are surrounding me. It gives me a lot of hope. It's a really good measuring tool to measure our fruit as a ministry. Like the quote that I read at the beginning of the show, looking into the future generation, the ones behind us, to see, to measure our collective self-respect. So I'm encouraged, and I hope y'all are. Many daughters have done virtuously, the word says, but you excel them all. That's a comment that, looking behind virtue, it says, many daughters have been a force. Many daughters have had virtue, valor, and strength. Many daughters have had might, power, riches, and have been worthy. That's what it means. But you, speaking of the Proverbs 31 woman, that woman excelled them all. And I know in her hearing and in her prayer time and in her life, she was not shaken by any rejection from any spirit. Did she hear it? Yes. She's a weaker vessel. Was she in a war? Absolutely. Mentally and even physically, right, at times. But truly, she excelled them all. Now, how did she excel them all? That's really what we have to put in front of us and press towards. Hallelujah. It's a really good promise. You can find in there the Father's love for daughters. You can find how his restrictions and limitations on daughters, even the sexual conduct for daughters, his restrictions for the men for the daughters, and that the men shall not give their daughters to certain other men. You know, there were great limitations. But you have to find those, you have to find that, my sisters, and rest in that, because we're up against a hard word, we're up against a hard nature, a very rebellious and stubborn nature. You're up against all these spirits that you've allowed inside your vessel for so long, and you got to fight and press to find a meekness and a gentleness that you were created to produce. You got to seek really, really hard. You can turn, you can change, you can, you really can. Hallelujah. Sister Erica, let's jump to you.
Yes, ma'am. I enjoyed her email as well. Like she said, a passion for their virtue. And that's one thing when I look at elders' daughters that he's had with me is just the strong desire and passion that I have for them to be righteous women, to grow up to be righteous women, to for them to maintain their pureness, their virtue, their virginity, their maidenhood until their father gives them away. My desire, my great desire for them to have a positive testimony, a positive report, a positive reputation amongst the righteous, and to just be blessed when, as they grow as women. I know that they will have a good life if they stay righteous, if they grow up to be righteous women, that they will have a blessed life. And that's what I want for them because I love them. But it takes being relentless, you know, not ever growing lax at any point. I'm literally 24/7 diligence, especially when they're so young and in your care 24/7. They're literally watching your every countenance, your every word, your every conversation, and they're watching you to mimic you. So it definitely puts a pressure, but a righteous pressure, on the mothers of daughters to really just stay being a good example for that daughter. The training doesn't stop. Literally from how you're sitting at the table to how you're chewing to how your countenance is looking to how their responses to any back talk or attitude, like literally catching it in the moment at every opportunity that you have and correcting it in the moment with all diligence, like stopping anything you're doing to make sure that you're on top of it. And, of course, prayer as well, staying diligent in your prayer life for them. But training them in spiritual things as well, you know, so they can start catching things on their own, not only you correcting them, but also giving them the understanding so they can also fight and war in their own minds and spirits. I have just a little example. It may seem small, but it's the little things, like I said, that count on an everyday basis. Abigail, the other day, we were actually at Shabbat. I had made two fruit bowls, one for her, one for Jonathan. And right away, as soon as I put it on the table, she pointed at one and said, "I want that one." You know, she was pointing at one of the fruit bowls. And I said, and I looked at her because, you know, I could see the spirit and the intent behind her quickness to want to grab a certain bowl. And I said, "Abigail, why do you want that one?" And she goes, "I just want it because, just because." And I'm like, "No, it's not just because." I said, "I want you to pay more attention to the intent of your heart. I want you to listen to the communication that's in your heart and your mind when you chose to say that you want that bowl. Because it's not just because, you know, why do you want it?" And then I asked her, "Is it because there's a bigger piece of watermelon in this bowl than the other?" And then she admitted, she was like, "Yes." And I was like, "You see, I want you to pay attention to the intent of your heart and mind," because I said, "That's what Yah was looking at, you know, not just what you're saying and what you're doing, but he's looking at the reason you're saying and the reason you're doing certain things." And that just was a small example that came to mind, because it literally is taking, you have to be diligent as a mother of daughters in catching every single intent, every single countenance, every single talk back snap, because these things will determine how they grow up to be as women in Israel. And you can't let anything slide, not even the what may seem like something small with daughters.
Thank you for that example. Very concrete. Mother Jennifer?
And I was going to say the only way that Erica can teach that to her daughter is because she would speak to herself that same way. So as women, we have to be quick to judge our own intent, you know, to judge our thoughts, to judge, you know, why we desire certain things, why we behave the way that we do. What is the intent behind, you know, something that we would say, the way we would speak? What is our intent? Like, are we really asking ourselves those questions? If you're not keen enough to ask yourself those questions and to really judge your intent, you cannot teach that to your daughters. You know, you cannot teach that to your children. So it has to start first and foremost with you. We have to really be honest with ourselves and understanding for our understanding of our own thoughts and our own ways. And do they line up with Yah?
And if they don't line up with Yah, then, you know, how do you get it right? And make sure that you get it right, because they're watching what you do. They're not necessarily just listening to everything you're saying. They're watching your actions. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Great input from two women raising daughters. Let's go to our third email, and maybe you can stop after the first paragraph or the first or second paragraph, and we'll give some input as we move through this one.
Yes, ma'am. It says, before coming into the truth, I did not desire to have daughters. I would often reflect on the fact that if I had a daughter, I wouldn't know how to keep her from becoming a whore. I knew from my own experiences in public school that it would be a war to guard her from the evil influences of peers and the opposite sex. I also knew that myself at the time, having kept my own virginity, that it was a rare thing to come by even in that time. So I wasn't too excited to have heartache and headache from a shameless daughter. Of course, when you are in and of the world, you only think one way of living. I thought I had to work outside the home. I had to send my children to school. I wasn't open to any other alternatives. This was life, and to have a girl in that life was not an option. I was and am still a firm believer in morals and manners, and most girls and women my age that I knew were heavily lacking in that area. Sister Ashley?
Can you imagine being a mother of a child looking so forward to having a son and being so rejecting and disappointed when you find out that the child in your womb the entire time was a girl? Can you imagine being a midwife and seeing the disdain and the disappointment in the husband's eyes when he sees a girl come out? It happens here, ministry. I'm not talking about the world. I'm not worried about the world. We gave stats of other countries. Erica spoke well about China. We're talking about Israel. This is a universal spirit. The disdain for women is manifest everywhere because of the contempt and the curse from the beginning. But we as a people, knowing the battle that you have to face as a woman, why would you multiply that for your own daughter? Why hate or look at it as an amazing opportunity to have someone better than you ever were, right? Hallelujah. So most definitely if you're carrying or if you have carried, or some women actually have had to go back and revisit the repentance that they didn't have in their hearts. When you're a new mom or it's your first child and you have your expectations or your hopes, or if you're bombarded with everyone's opinion of what they think it is, but yet you have a weak mind, it will affect your womb and your outcome. It really can, I should say. Let me go to you, Erica, with that thought.
Yes. I actually, when I was pregnant, especially the first time around, new mom, you know, still battling with different immaturities and things like that, when I was pregnant, I really wanted to have a son, you know, and, like I said, for different reasons, I wanted to have seed for my master. But subconsciously also knowing that it would be a greater responsibility on my part if I had a daughter because of a daughter having to learn from the mother. And because of that desire, whenever I would hear a lot of people say, oh, you know, you're going to have a son, you're going to have a boy. And that's, you know, saints in Israel and also, you know, sisters in Israel as well as natural family members, you know, people speaking boy, boy, boy. So it would just reaffirm the desire that I already had and, you know, caused me to really believe, you know, that I'm having a boy, to the point that I was even voicing it like, oh, I'm hoping for a son, you know, I'm hoping to have a boy, and not realizing that I had a little girl growing inside of me and that I was transferring all this rejection to her. I would also, when I would pray so gender specific, you know, for a male, you know, I would be like, yes, may you bless him in my womb, that he be strong and valiant, you know, all those things, like I said. And whenever, like I said, I would hear people would be so adamant, oh, it's going to be a boy, it's going to be a boy. And whenever she was born, it was a girl. I was sort of caught a little bit off guard, like, because I was so expecting a boy. And like I said, I grew in maturity since then. But I, of course, I had to repent for all the rejection that I was transferring to her in my womb. And I... like I said, in my consecutive pregnancies, you know, I grew in maturity, and I was determined that, you know what, I'm just going to keep my mind open for whatever gender is in my womb, because I can't determine that. I can't control that. Only Yahweh can, and He's chosen whatever is within me, and it's for a good reason, and He has a specific purpose and a specific plan for the child within me, whatever gender it is, and it is valuable in His eyes. And so I took on that same, you know, mindset, you know, that the Father has about this child, that this child is valuable no matter what it is. And, you know, that was just a healthier state of mind for me to be in, because being more open, like I said, to whether it would be girl or boy, and really just during the pregnancy praying to Yahweh if I had any spirit, anything try to rise up within me of having a preference, I would ask the Father, Father, I want to receive this child and in love and in joy. So, Father, please help me to be excited despite of what it is. You know, if it's whatever gender, just help me to be excited when I see this baby come forth. And like I said, I just was more positive thinking about the benefits of having either or. You know, if I have a little girl, it'll be a sister for Abigail. If I have a little boy, you know, my master will have seed. You know, just like I said, just encouraging myself in either or. And I've really enjoyed, despite of, you know, at first wanting a son with Abigail, when she came forth and after having her for 7 years, I wouldn't, of course, change it for anything. And I'm very grateful that Yahweh has blessed me with her. Like I said, I've been able to see myself so much because of her. It's put a righteous pressure on me to be more righteous because I am her example. And then also, you know, she has been a true blessing, just her joy. She's very helpful around the house, but also just seeing the good fruit after I pour into her and then seeing it manifest, you know, seeing her knowledge in spiritual warfare or hearing her desire to do certain things in righteousness, it encourages me when I see those good fruits and makes me, you know, happy because I know it's pleasing to the Creator. You know, I'm doing, like I said, a service for the kingdom. And so, yeah, my mindset, of course, has changed since that time. But I just try to be very mindful of how I speak to other women when they're pregnant, especially first-time moms, especially if I hear moms having a preference. I try to, you know, remind them, you know, even if it's not, you know, what you're speaking of, you know, even if it's not what you're saying you might want it to be, you know, it's going to be a blessing and it's going to be exciting and it's going to be awesome either way because it's the Father's will. And I just try to, when women have, like I said, daughters, especially because I've known the battle, I try to be very encouraging and positive about it. So that way they can be encouraged, remembering that it is a very beautiful and good thing.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful example. We really, truly have nothing to do with it. You know, pastors call us incubators before, but even the man doesn't choose. It's his seed, right? His body has a determination and a DNA factor. Remember, Sister Wanda and Brother Steve, we had a good conversation. It's probably been over a year ago about how some, we were talking about Jews at the time, they come across how to gender select what, you know, when to conceive. Where you could actually pick one or the other. There's a lot of dynamics and games and rejections to that too. You know, there really is. That I just don't think mankind should embark on. That's just a personal opinion. I like how Erica always takes us back to the Father does this. The Father does this. You know, that it is the Most High Yah's will. And if we rest in that, that He can't go wrong. You know, hallelujah. So, Mother Jennifer, your thoughts and back to the email.
I wanted to say that there is, you know, when you look at the world, there's so much control involved in childbirth. You know, like you mentioned, gender selection. Even women will go to the doctor and they will select the date that they want to give birth. You know, they leave nothing up to Yah. It's like they have to control every single aspect, every single part of the pregnancy. And, You think about just coming this way, you know, then Satan is trying to tempt you with that same mindset, you know, that having the same control. And even fear plays a really big part into it. You know, reading this letter, the first portion talked about the fears that this sister had early on in life, seeing the character of women, you know, when she was in school, seeing how loose women were, and fearing that her daughter would be that same way. So there's a lot of preconceived fears, a lot of control that has to be dealt with, you know, when you're considering or when you're carrying a child. So I'll go back into the letter. It says, once coming into the truth, reading the word, seeing that word performed, and hearing our shepherd, his preaching and his teachings on women and their roles as wives, keepers of the home, and how we are to conduct ourselves and be holy and set apart in dress, in spirit, in behavior, and how this is all for our protection, the thought of having a daughter became encouraging. I was excited to have daughters with confidence that I could raise them uprightly, knowing that I would be the most influential in her life as her mother, and that guarding her was not what was perceived in the word as too harsh, oppressive, or strict, but actually love and righteousness and a necessity brought me comfort. As women, I know it is easy to have a tendency to want to shy away from raising girls because of the excuse of how wicked women are, but what better place to have a daughter than in the truth, in a ministry that is pursuing holiness, producing virgins. I look forward to the day that both my daughters are given over to righteous men, to my husband, performing a weighty matter, and the delight I will have as a mother, knowing that she is prepared to make a home, bear and raise children, and serve her master as the king himself, all because we were blessed with the ears to hear a Jeremiah 3:15 pastor. What an honor to raise holy, righteous daughters in this day and age. A virtuous woman is a rarity, and I'm honored to be entrusted by Yahweh with daughters to teach his ways to. I'll pause there. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. What a beautiful mind Yah has put in you. All glory to him. Praise Yah. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Daughters. The Most High Yah has daughters too. Don't forget that. Hallelujah. Don't forget that. Back to our email, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. She says, when pregnant with my oldest daughter, I didn't know what I would have. My hopes were for a son from my master, but I kept an open mind. I tried to war against the pressure I put on myself to bear seed. After delivery, I was relieved and happy to receive her. I was somewhat keen to the fact that boys seemed to have been more celebrated, but I was so happy just to have a child that I pushed those thoughts way back and continued on. It wasn't until I was pregnant with my second child that I felt this intense pressure to bear a son. The anticipation of knowing what I was having was so great, and not because I truly wanted a son, but because I was afraid of experiencing the negativity and disappointment if I only had girls. I was fearful of what others would think of myself and my husband. I often would be tempted in my thoughts to compare myself to mothers who had sons, questioning my own righteousness and wondering, what did these women possess that I did not, where they could bear a son and I could not. I even thought, maybe I'm not where I need to be spiritually to be entrusted with a son. As I got closer toward the end of my pregnancy, I had to hit my knees and repent for all the thoughts and negativity I was experiencing in mind of not desiring another daughter and only wanting a son to relieve myself of thoughts, temptations, and fears of not having a son. I realize now that my desire for a son was not sincere, but was rooted in fear. I let the fear of man discourage me from seeing the beauty and benefit in having daughters. I'll pause there. Sister Ashley?
Thank you. Let's go to you. Erica, your thoughts on the email so far? Anything coming to your mind?
Yes, ma'am. I've actually heard this from a few women who have had daughters, especially multiple daughters, subconsciously viewing it like she was saying, as a negative thing or even as a punishment in a sense that, well, I'm not good enough if I have another girl or if I don't bear a son this time, there's something wrong with me, like she was saying. Like these are some of the thoughts that Satan can put in the mind when, of course, they can be nothing further than the truth because, like I said again, Yahweh views these daughters as very valuable to our nation because they're required for our nation building. We need them in order to be, like I said, the future wives and mothers of the next generation. So I really, like I said, I've heard this from a couple different sisters, just this mindset. Like I said, that's just the Hasatan. It can't be further than the truth, you know, because it's, you know, if that was indeed true, that there's something wrong with you and that's why you're being given a daughter, then where are we going to get the righteous women from? You know, Yahweh is entrusting righteous women to raise up righteous daughters. We're going to need righteous women to raise up the righteous daughters to be wives of Israel and women who can build up their homes and their masters. So, you know, like I said, that's one thing that can help counteract those thoughts of the Hasatan when he submits those things to the mind, is remembering, no, you know, if we're going to have righteous daughters, righteous future wives and mothers, they need to be raised by righteous women. So, like I said, viewing it more as an honor and of being entrusted with such a great task.
Let me read from another book, Erica, and I'll go to you. It says a woman in the first covered status, which is a young unmarried woman who still resides in her father's house, has a layer of protection against entering into potentially unfavorable agreements. Her father has a veto authority over any agreement or statement that she may make, and it's based off of the biblical Numbers 30, where the father can actually disallow her her speech or a vow that she's made. All right? It says she can still use the creative speaking ability of her tongue or her subtlety, but her authority or access to the power is mercifully limited to that which her loving father even allows. These are hard sayings for young women of the West, born and shaped in the tenets of radical feminism, but she'll have to have the Holy Spirit to humble herself and make use of this divine system of godly favor and protection. We are bombarded with the fiery darts of a global satanic thought system, which I called earlier just the contempt between the serpent and the woman, right? Same thing. It says, for example, a daughter's habitual idle words of negativity about her attractiveness may, if not be disavowed, it may manifest in her life in the form of her settling for men who do not love her because she doesn't feel good enough to be fully accepted. The question that the book asks is, how has your daughter's words about her state of being been tainted by her agreement, i.e. maybe her physical features if they're older or her appearance, etc., but maybe when they're younger and that's not the issue yet, it could just be negativity. How much worldly entertainment and media and advertising does your daughter actually consume and allow that to be a part of her? That's the question that it really focused on. But with me reading that out of that book, Erica, where does your heart go?
Well, based on the last part, and please correct me if I'm going the wrong way or if I didn't understand the question, but when it comes to the influence, like in the email she mentioned, the part of the fear was the outside influences, you know, the world, you know, influencing the daughter, you know, so she ends up being shameless or like I said, or like she said, a whore and things like that. But in Israel, we really can control what's influencing our children, which we thank Yah for. But it's up to us to preserve them from that negative influence. So not putting them before the TV all the time, watching all these shows and movies portraying, you know, the lewd behavior of women in the world, you know, the bad attitudes and things like that, but really guarding their hearts, their minds, and their spirits from those influences. One reason why they don't go to school and we homeschool them, thank Yah for that. But them being around you 24/7 so you can be that influence, so you can be the one molding and shaping their mind, their behavior, their speech, their outlook on life, and all of those things. I remember just a brief example of influences. When she was younger, she was probably like 3 years old, I thought it'd be okay for me to let her watch this little animated show about a horse and some little girls. But then what I noticed was these little girls had a lot of bad attitude towards one another, towards authority, towards adults. And I would just tell her, I thought I could just tell her, okay, you know, don't mimic that behavior. That's bad behavior. You know, what they're doing is, but you know, if she's watching it over and over again, you know, it's still ministering to her mind and spirit. And if she's only three, especially, how much can she really war for herself? And so I ended up seeing her with more attitude after a while, after watching these, this show. And so it came to my spirit, you know, to nix it, you know, to just get rid of it. And, I did, I got rid of it and I, trained those things out of her again and, seen much good fruit afterwards. Just an example of not letting, you know, this world influence our children. But, or on the earlier part of what you read, it was talking about, what came to mind with what you were reading was also the safety and the security that we have in righteous order because of, you know, not being able to just make certain decisions on our own, especially with the example of numbers. There's so much safety in that. And even for daughters, especially the maidens, being given away as wives now in Israel with their fathers and their leadership being heavily involved in deciding, not deciding, but, you know, telling their daughters who would be a good husband for them per their righteous discernment. There's so much safety in that because I believe all those daughters can admit that we don't know what's best for us because we don't know a man like a man knows a man. And being the weaker vessel, you know, we don't know what's best for us. And our righteous fathers who do love us, like you emphasize, or in the reading that you read, it emphasized the loving father. The loving father will choose according to wisdom. He will perform that weighty matter in love with his righteous discernment. And there's so much peace and security in that. There was actually a maiden who spoke that way recently. And there's a lot of safety in that for the daughters in Israel.
Beautiful. Yes, you answered it exactly like I wanted, which is straight out of your heart. There's no right or wrong. I know you guys haven't, you or Mother Jennifer have not seen these quotes or even read this because I wanted to hear your heart. Mother Jennifer, I'm going to read out of this book again, and I'm going to go to you. This is the next point. Does your daughter speak evil words or think evil thoughts about her hair, her body type, or her skin color? There are so many messages designed by Satan and transmitted through demonically controlled popular culture telling young and even old women that they are not beautiful or not good enough. The global satanic thought system tries to insert doubt into women just as the father of lies did to Eve. Satan would say, you would be prettier if, you would be more valuable if, things would be better for you if. In fact, he offers that she would be happy if she agreed to serve him. So the father should have, and it's meaning the earthly father, should have an ongoing teaching and a reminding program in his home where he teaches his daughter not to use her tongue, to go into agreement with thoughts which are not in her own or her family's best interest. He should teach her to wait and agree with the word of the Most High about herself. He should prevent her by keeping the lines of communication open. He should encourage her to talk to him about her thoughts or feelings from engaging into any agreement or consuming words which would interfere with assimilation to her future husband. What's your thoughts, Mother Jennifer?
I think about the importance of the role, of a father, you know, a father in the home who truly fears Yah and how he will help secure and bring stability to the mind of a young daughter. You know, like you said, Sister Ashley, you know, young melanated girls being taught to hate their hair, to hate their skin. As mothers, it's on us to teach our daughters, you know, how beautiful our heritage is, how beautiful we are, you know, because of the way that Yah made us, how beautiful it is with our hair being textured or our skin, the color of our skin, and we don't need to change that. I remember growing up as a young girl, you know, my mother put chemicals in my hair because it was too difficult to comb. And so I know that there are other daughters that went through the same thing, other women that went through the same thing at a young age. And it teaches you to really hate yourself. You know, it teaches you to hate certain aspects about yourself. So it's really important to have a mother in your life who can teach you to love the way that you were made, to teach them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And even for a woman to be able to communicate to the father that's in the home, you know, the struggles that the daughter is having so that he can pour into her. You know, that he can quiet the voice of the devil by speaking love over her. Just, you know, within this broadcast, Elder Rufus sent a text saying, I love all my daughters, and he truly does. You know, he has such a great display of love for all his daughters, for every single one that calls him Papa. You know, he has great love for all of them. I remember when baby Ahava was born. You know, and it was announced to him, you know, we got a baby girl born at this time. And his first reaction was, yes, you know, and it was just, it was so genuine. It truly was genuine. and she will never have to experience any level of rejection or wonder if Papa loves her or not. Mariah will never have to deal with that because Papa loves them for who they are. He loves the fact that he has girls. He loves every single daughter that calls him Papa, that considers him a father. So it just really helps having a good, strong, solid support in the home and having the mother and the father speaking together, talking about the struggles that the child is having so that you can be on the same page as far as building them up in a world that's really just trying to tear them down. Sister Ashley?
Beautiful words to gain souls, really, to gain hearts. Thank you so much, Elder Rufus, for even that love that you have that was first given unto you. Mother Jennifer, don't read it, but do you still have a portion of the email to continue?
I do, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so pause right there. I'm just going to read a little bit more of this for reflection, and I won't ask either of you these questions. These are in question form, but it's really for reflection tonight, and we'll jump right back to the email. It says, what impression of loving patriarchy do our daughters have, and what impression of loving patriarchy have your daughters derived from their observation and interaction with you? Do they think that male authorities are uncaring, too busy, disinterested, irritable, powerless, or carnally minded? If these daughters are not used to their father, if they're not used to their father's lovingly setting boundaries of thought, speech, and behavior, how will they endure a righteous husband who would fulfill his role in the future? And to the mothers, why do you impede your husband? That means stop him. Why do you impede your husband from lovingly setting boundaries of godly thought, speech, and behavior? If your daughters see that you are dismissive of the father, how will they know to respect and appreciate when he disavows a statement that they make or when he forbids them to participate in any activity because his veto authority and right allows this? The act of a father disavowing or disallowing his daughter's statements of error or corrections of behavior is an act of fatherly love and the central action of a successful fatherhood. And to the women, how many evil thought patterns, which you say you don't desire to have actually become habitual and have manifested in your decision-making? Are there patterns of thoughts and behaviors working in your life which might have been pulled up by the roots if you had a father who was present and aware of his responsibility over you? To the young sisters, do you find yourself longing for male attention and being willing to compromise yourself because you are afraid of being alone? How do you compromise yourself or your family's honor? Do you put on tight or revealing clothing so that men or boys will say something to you? Do you place revealing or inappropriate pictures of yourself on social media or text inappropriate messages? Do you correspond with males using social media without your parents' knowledge or approval? Do you spend more time, this is me, thinking on a man than Yah? To the young sisters, do you feel that you have to compete against other girls or women for the attention of men or the attention of your betrothed? You know, I threw that betrothed in there. Do you try to outdress or look better than other girls in the ministry or at school? Do you allow boys or even men to work near you, touch you, make physical contact with you? These things are forbidden in Israel. It says, how many bad decisions or bad relationships, women, did you enter into because you did not have godly counsel or would not receive it? Look, Nadia, I'm reading, right? These are not my words. These are not my words, y'all. Women, what error have you accepted or negative habitual thought patterns are you enslaved to that your husband is now having to deal with? Women, what factors kept you from communicating honestly about your thoughts and feelings with your natural father or even now your husband? I'm going to read that again. What factors kept you from communicating honestly That's big in a betrothal, too. What factors kept you from communicating honestly about your thoughts and feelings with your natural father or your husband, soon-to-be husband? Women, how did you see your mother, how did you see your mother figure respond to the advice or the boundaries that were set by the father? Was she dismissive? Did she joke? Did she ridicule him even out of his presence? Did she hide information from him? And lastly, it is paramount, and it is of paramount importance to have the numbers 30 system of a father and husband functioning. Remember, numbers 30 is just his ability to disavow or forgive, disallow a woman for what she said or she's committed to herself to. Okay, so one more time. It is of paramount importance to have this numbers 30 system of father-husband functioning in the home. In the absence of a father functioning according to a biblical job description, there are problems that are created for the future marriage in which the girl's husband will have to work through. He will have to till the ground of her mind, likely involving much sorrow, in order to make it suitable to bring to full term the thoughts or the word of the Most High in his marriage. For the daughter to be in the optimum spiritual condition is to be able to easily assimilate to her husband. She should have a loving father who taught her the word and taught her to submit to him by reminding her of the word and disallowing any and all foolish agreements made with the world and the house of time. All right, back to the email, Mother Jennifer, or if you want to share thoughts.
You literally could end the show based on what you read, Sister Ashley, but I'm going to continue with the email. It says, after repenting and renewing my mind before going into labor, I was able to receive my second daughter with joy, just as I received my first. I think I read this part. I'm sorry. She says, as I write this, I have tears of joy. I truly enjoy my daughters. I am grateful for them. I have become a better woman because I have had to rise to the occasion of becoming an example for them. Having daughters keeps you sharp as a woman. I am more sober in speech and how I carry myself and how I interact with my husband and sisters. I am more keen to self-reflect, get deliverance, and be purged of the smallest mindsets, attitudes, beliefs, and natures of the world that could influence them and lead them down the wrong path. I see the value that they can bring to a man's home and even a community as they become of age to help cook, clean, and even be a helping hand when more children are born. I love dressing them up, doing their hair, and I enjoy their company. I see that it is a great calling to be a mother in itself, but how much more to mother and nurture daughters, the future mothers and first-line teachers of the next generation. Women are so broken in this time. We are in, and to be able to restore and the purity and the value of young women was lit, has lit a fire in me that I can hardly explain. I am determined to do my part in repairing the breach through motherhood by doing right by these daughters. I'm happy to receive daughters, and I believe that being a good steward over my husband's daughters means so much to me because of understanding the value of a woman and the need in Israel for holy women to marry off to righteous men to continue in this restoration. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Sister Erica, don't go anywhere. Mother Jennifer, please give your concluding words and you can hang up and listen to the remaining moments of the show. Thank you for everything you've done, for reading those emails, always being here for me just in case it's my last show for a small period of time or for purification. I bless you. Go ahead and wrap up your thoughts tonight.
Hallelujah. I think this is a very good topic. And, you know, again, it just really shows me how we truly need the presence of a good, strong, godly father in the home, a man of Yah, who, you know, a man who truly loves Yah in the home. And I'm so thankful for this ministry and the position that this ministry takes when viewing women, how women are protected from cradle to grave, you know, from cradle to grave, from beginning
to the end. Women are truly protected. We just have to submit. And that's all I have. Bless you.
Hallelujah. Bless you, bless you. To my sister who wrote in an email just recently, even during the live show, saying that she knows it's late, I won't have time to read your email, but for certain what I can discern just off the jump, and you and she was the opposite. All she wanted was a girl. She prayed for a girl. She dreamed of a girl, told her family she was having a girl, and to have a boy would be a disappointment. That's because of your hate from men, okay? That's because of your hate and your rejections from your father and the men in your life, okay? So that's just do some soul searching there, and then most definitely the father will, he'll show you. He'll show you more than just my statements, but that's a good place to start digging in, all right? So thanks for the email. Erica, take your time to wrap up your thoughts, anything that you have written down, or just as you meditate and listen to tonight's show, take a moment to conclude. Take all the time you need. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. One thing that I wanted to share as well was anytime, you know, anytime that I've heard sighs or negative comments whenever somebody has shared that, you know, they've had another girl or they have had a daughter, or just that any negative comments of, you know, them if they were to have a girl, if they were pregnant, what comes to mind is, you know, in the world, the women that say, I can't have female friends. I prefer not to have female friends. I prefer to just have male friends. And really what comes to mind, what's going on spiritually, is them not wanting to deal with someone like themselves, not wanting to deal with another woman because of knowing what's within themselves. And the same spirit in not wanting relationships with women, I believe, is also the same spirit in not wanting a daughter as well, because of not wanting to deal with someone like yourself. And really, it can also reflect in women's relationships with one another as well. In Israel, in not wanting to deal with sisters in the sisterhood of Israel. So it all ties in to our love for ourselves, our love for our sisters, our love for our daughters, and we have to just be determined to have the same mercy, compassion, and love for our sisters and for our daughters and for ourselves that the Creator himself has had for us women, because he has had a great level of mercy, compassion, and love for us. And one last thing I wanted to share was, for those who are pregnant, those who are expecting, it's a very safe place to be fully surrendered in your heart and mind and spirit, fully surrendered completely to the Father's will, you know, just being fully content with whatever is you bring forth, whatever child is growing within you, whether it be boy or girl, knowing that whatever that is, that was the Father's will. And he has a very special plan and purpose for that specific being that he chose to put inside of you, that specific soul that he chose to form inside of you. So I pray that all my sisters are encouraged by that.
Hallelujah. Hey, Erica, don't go anywhere. I'm not going to let you go yet. I'm going to tell a story of what happened today, and I'll see if you have anything to say. And I also want to conclude with my many, many thanks to you and your obedience to your husband and to the Holy Spirit, just even igniting this topic tonight based on our conversation a week ago. All right, little background. Y'all know it's story time. I had my sister, my natural biological sister, met Pastor when she was 18. She's now maybe 42. So she's known him probably longer than most people in this county. She was the parts manager at an automotive store, and she would run into, you know, Pastor or any of the brethren at the time that came in for mechanic issues when they moved here to the community. Okay, so she knew him, eventually came to the assembly, and began to come often when my mother began to come. She had children, two of them. One of them, I still have a picture of Pastor holding my niece when my niece was a baby. She's now 13 years old. I'm in Walmart today with
Tammy.
Yes. Who are you? Tammy. I called Tammy to the mic. I'm in Walmart today with Tammy. A total off the wall. My son, little background, left his piano book at the piano teacher's house. She lives right beside a Walmart. He needs the book to practice. We got to go back next week. So Deacon's like, hey, run to town real quick. Grab that book, you know. Get it from her so he can practice. All right, so then, of course, we're going to run into Walmart. Her and I are going to grab a few things. We're going to head back home. It was a real quick trip to town. Here, I hear somebody. Real country. I got to do that. Y'all know I got to do that because I can't stand this accent around here. Ashley Michelle. And I thought, oh, my God, it's my mom. I ain't seen my mom in years and years and years. Years and years and years. Right, Erica's laughing. I'm like, nobody does that like my mom. That's my government name, too. And so... anyway, I turn around, it's my sister. I'm like, I see you. I'll wait right here. We're at the end of an aisle. Like, I'm not running to you like that. So she's pacing, marching. I've only seen her one time. Her son is 5. I've only seen her one time in 5 years. That's a whole nother funny story. Of course, today when we leave, and I'm praying, before we leave the land, we always pray safety over our vehicles. It's something that we always do. We have to. Satan will take advantage of it if we don't. I always say, what do I always say? Keep me from my family.
Natural family.
Yeah, I live right here, so y'all ain't got to pray that, right? But I live right here. Keep me from my family, my biological family. Anyway, didn't say it today. All right, so she comes up and, you know, has how many years? I don't know, 9 to 12 years. Somewhere between 9 to 12 years she was here coming every Sabbath, y'all. It was years. It really was. And my niece was maybe 6 or 7 when she left, and she stopped communing. She divorced. Her and her husband divorced. She was split in custody with both her children, and boom, she just stopped coming to the ministry after the divorce, okay? Lives literally 9 minutes from here. My family does. My mom, my sister, my brother, 3 different houses right down the road from here. And they could throw rocks at each other. That's how close they are. All right, there's my background. Here we are. We're in Walmart. Up walks my niece, who's 13. I had to ask how old she is. I asked her mother today how old she is because I haven't seen her in so long. She doesn't look like, of course, a 6-year-old. And she's staring at me with eyes of disdain. There's never been a 13-year-old that looked at me like that. The last time you left when you were 6 years old, you loved me. Yeah, you had an attitude. You were spoiled. You didn't get the ride. But the circumstance, this was a spirit. Now, why do I have Tammy here? Tammy, you can tell them, right? And I'm going to tell my story. What did this little girl look like to me?
Yeah, she looked really like, she just looked at you, like how you said, with such disdain. Like she, even the way she responded to you, it was with like so much disrespect. It's like you would not talk to your aunt like that. At all, the way she was, like, talking, like, the responses.
The sassiness.
Yes.
Popping bubblegum bubbles.
Yes. Didn't, like she really didn't care.
Not at all.
At all.
Like, what have I done, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm noticing the spirit, and I'm not going to back down. I'm not gonna be bothered by it, obviously. I'm just, like, this is a spirit, okay? So at the end of my sister and I's conversation, which was really short, she's also got another toddler with her, or child with her, that I've never seen in my life. Whose is it? I didn't know until she said, this is your brother's daughter. My natural brother's daughter. Oh, okay. Never seen her. I mean, this family is dead to me. Y'all understand I'm Israelite, right?
Hi.
And so, hallelujah. I'm kind. It don't take long to say, hey, I got nothing else going on. I'm not disrespectful or dishonorable at all, but this is not my family. And so at the very end of the conversation, I just turned around to, you know, at least acknowledge this little girl. She's 13, and her glares and her stares and her disdain, I'm wondering how she's going to respond back. So I say to her something along the lines of, what do you enjoy to do? You know, what's a hobby or activity or something that you love? Right? Because I don't know her. And she said, boys.
She's 13, yeah. Nadia.
What's a hobby that you enjoy? You're 13. Boys. Her mom, who's 42, who spent 9 years in the faith, says, she's boy crazy. I got to keep her back off of them. what? She wants to go to the drive-in with her boyfriend now, and then here she pops off. She's 13. My mama won't let me. I'm trying to go with my boyfriend. If I could have smacked you. And then my sister says, I told her she can go if her older brother will sit in between them during the movie. All right, y'all take it easy. That's what I said. Take it easy. Turn around, went right back to picking the salsa that my husband told me to pick up. Try to find the mild, medium, or the hot. Whatever. Take it easy. That's the opposite extreme of what we discussed. Even if you take the Jesus factor completely away from us.
Yeah.
All right, let's take Jesus out of the conversation, okay? I got a skirt on. I got a head cover. It might be scary. Take that away. Paul said, I become all things to all men. I'm having a conversation, right? You ain't got to agree with me, have the same religion, none of that. But if I look at your fruit and I say, what's your hobby? And it's boys? No coloring, drawing, basketball maybe. I know she plays sports. She's athletic. She's tall. Nothing else comes to mind. And the mom who came here who dressed holy every time she came, and believe me, she only dressed holy on the Sabbath. You got nothing in you that convicts you or any kind of, you know, take Jesus out of it. Your home life, your home representation, the fruit of it, that's awful. That's the other extreme. And I thought to myself, me knowing what we're talking about tonight on the show, that's no coincidence.
Yeah.
I got to give y'all that opposite. Let me tell you right now, if that girl called me up or called my husband up, or call who knows who else, the other beggar up, and want to come to this assembly, hell no. You keep your influence, your sass, your shorts, your booty, and your stank so far away from these virgin daughters that I would be at the gate. Security ain't even got to be there for me that day. I'm so serious. This is my biological family. If you don't mind, Deacon Bell, may I go to the gate. There's no way you're going to come in and influence a holy, righteous daughter or a virgin or an assembly. And that's the kind of zeal I have for the people who are living this thing. Ain't no family member worth any influence. Hallelujah. All right, I just wanted to keep you on the line, Sister Erica, so that you could, hey, share something if it comes to mind. And if not, that's okay, too. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. The verse that comes to mind in Proverbs is the one that speaks of a child left to themselves who brings shame to their mother. And it seems like this child has been left to herself. And it's very sad because it speaks to not enough love and not enough care. Because if you truly love your child, you would not allow them to go that route. You wouldn't set them up for failure. And that's, you know, being set up for failure, being so young and thinking like a whore and functioning like a whore, that there's no love there on the mother's part. Not only is there no love, but that's a great level of laziness, not wanting to put in any effort into teaching and guiding this child, guarding her from hurt and pain in this world. So in the world, I know it could be very discouraging. It could have been very discouraging to raise a daughter because of the wickedness that they could turn out to, especially like in this case. But in Israel, we can be encouraged, so encouraged, knowing that we have this word to follow, to guide us, the Holy Spirit itself to guide us in raising up these righteous daughters with diligence, you know, without ceasing, praying without ceasing, training without ceasing, like I said, putting away self and just investing completely all that you can in these children, teaching them from the time they are, you know, they're able to comprehend, so that they can be better women than what we ever were and better than what we see in the world. One example, and I'll end with this, but, you know, my master's daughter, she's only 6 years old, but I even speak to her mind now of how, you know, her mind needs to be on her father and on Yahweh, as the word says, as Corinthians speaks of the mind of a maiden, and not to have her mind on any boys, because that's the mind of a whore. And I use those specific words just so that she can comprehend and understand now as a young daughter, so she can have her mind in the right place as she grows up to a young woman. So now she can understand what her role is as a daughter and where her mind and spirit should be But like I said, the training is a 24/7 training, and it takes your diligence.
Beautiful. I appreciate every word that you've spoken tonight. It's words of life. I thank you so much for living it. And just even, as I've always said throughout the show, just sparking the conversation and bringing this topic forth. I think it's on time. I appreciate it. It'll bring forth great fruit, maybe even to one or just a few. Thank you to those who sent the emails. I do have one more short story I'm going to tell, but Erica, I'm going to let you go. And like Sister Aya said in the chat room tonight, oh, how much Satan hates the daughters of Yah. Absolutely. And it's proven by the war that he puts inside our minds, right? And all the vanity, the idolatry, the passivity, everything that you have to fight on day to day, it proves his great hate. And then he'll turn it around and say, does not Yah hate you? He don't hear you. You're not good enough for him. Right? So thank you so much, Sister Erica. Anything else?
No, ma'am. It was an honor to be on the show, and I pray that the sisters are edified.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Bless you, bless you. Go ahead and hang her up, Chef. I'm going to share a quick story, another one that came to mind. I turned around to Sister Nadia and said, did I share this da-da-da-da-da story? She said, no, I don't think so. I'm going to share a story. This is the kind of stuff that, you know, stands out to me. There was a woman who came here. I was very, very recently. And, of course, the first person that I speak to about is my husband, always. I'm standing in line to go sing. We will stand off on the left-hand side before we enter the stage. We're in the tabernacle. It's a very big Sabbath. A lot of people are here. This is some months ago. My eye catches a woman that I haven't seen in a long time who has on a dress that shows her breast, her cleavage is out. A lace see-through top that you can see through, and then she has on full makeup, and I'm leaning against the wall, and I'm going to sing, but I say, Father, if she comes over here, give me your words. Don't let me speak my own. Sure enough, straight to me, 30 seconds later. Now, mind you, she could have went anywhere. We're greeting each other. I just know I'm not going to you. If she comes to me, you give me your words. Oh, bless you, Shalom, she says. And I say, how is it you feel comfortable coming in here in that? And I look down at her chest. And then I say, and with that on your face and eyes, when no one else in here approves of it or wears it, why would you not honor us? She says, well, I asked so-and-so, which happens to be a part of the assembly, by the way. Right? We're all supposed to be in one mind, right? Somebody come to you, Nadia, and they say, can I wear this and put this on, whatever. You're supposed to say what I say, right? Or I say what you say. But somehow somebody gave her opposite counsel and said, it's okay, because that's you. That's what you do. That's how you are. Ain't no reason to hide it, right? Okay. So you chose... this was my very thought from the first that I saw her, because I don't care about your butt or your chest or your face or your, I've been there, done that. Wore it, got the t-shirt, and then changed, okay? But what about these daughters in here that I've actually seen color their fingernails with crayons just because of your type of spirit, right? What about them? So I say those type of things. You didn't consider any daughter in here that we're trying to protect our children from, that you would come so vainly in here, that you would be so welcome? And honestly, I was kind, because I said to her, where's your honor for us? I'm not asking you to change. I'm saying that you would put off these things for one Sabbath for us. Well, you know, me and my husband, we're going to start just with the commandments. Okay. I said, do you feel, right, do you feel secure with where your soul stands with the Most High Yah? Do you feel secure with where your soul is at with the Most High Yah? Yes. We're starting with the commandments. I said, hallelujah. Thank you for mature conversation, right, because now I'm gaining. Thank you for giving me answers and not getting offended. Thank you for listening. But most certainly, what's inside of you is manifest in this outward appearance that you have so vainly walked in here with. And she said, well, when you live out here, it's a lot harder to shake the world off than when you live on the inside. Point proven. Come out of her. Be set apart. Because you know the beast is going to devour you. You're too weak, right? And we really had a mature conversation for about 5 minutes, but I wanted you to know this is not welcome, and I don't care who told you that it is. And this is the type of stuff, this is the hate speech. This gets you stoned. Right? This type of life I'm living behind the scenes, I'm not holding back. You know, I'm not holding my love back, because that is love. And she ain't been back since, and may never be. But she did send me a baby gift, which I thought was very kind, and she probably greatly appreciated the woman-to-woman dialogue that some of us just don't quite have the courage to do. And perhaps it's more my responsibility than it is yours anyway. You don't got to run around and be Holy Spirit to anybody. But just know when the opportunity comes for you to make a separation, and especially to guard and protect the young daughters, I do not want that spirit here. I'm not talking about a person at all. That spirit will send out its venom, right, and penetrate into more. I mean, you'll have young daughters just staring at it, and before long they might lust or long for it. It'll lodge in their subconscious, and they'll be wondering why. Why is that here? If we don't guard our edges, right, and put a wall up around and secure this ministry and fight with one mind together, then who knows what type of spirit will come in and devour. All right, got a quick announcement. Tabernacles is less than 3 months away, and if you have any children who would like a table to sell any items at the Straightway Heirs Pavilion, please polo Sister Marshala. Sister Marshala is setting up a Straightway Heirs Marketplace for children at the Feast of Tabernacles. It's in 3 months. Some of the items that are sold are like head wraps, things that your children make or bake, snacks, drinks, canvas paintings, any handmade craft, or even children's T-shirts. She did it last year. It was a hit. They really enjoy it. So your children are actually the sellers. We sold juice boxes and Hershey's Kisses for quarters. You know, ain't trying to rob the saints. Just make it fun. Learn a little bit about investments, and I guess how much money I got back. Almost zero. Where did the money go, bellboys? What did you do? I forgot to teach you to hold on to it because you went to every table and bought something from every other child and lost all your money, which, hey, wasn't yours to begin with. So, hey, I know what to do next time. I mean, it was all gone. We spent $120 on the inventory. We got $20 back, like in quarters. Where's the money at? But anyway, Straightway Heirs Marketplace, Feast of Tabernacles, hit up Sister Marshala. Bless y'all. If you don't hear my voice next week, you'll know that I had a child, and I'm ready for either. Look, we've had jokes going. I said I'm wrong every time. Anyway, not with mine. If I'm guessing somebody else's, if I ever guessed anybody else's, I'm wrong every time. I'm so serious. I ain't been wrong with my own, though. So we'll see. So y'all know if I have a boy, well, let's just all laugh together. Because I'm going to love them just like I love my other three. But I really do think it's a female child. And why would I say that after a show like tonight, right? I can only say it because I have no bias or gender selection preference. You know, I told sisters already, if I go in purification and it's a boy, just laugh with me because I was wrong again, right? I'm going to love them just the same. I love y'all. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. And to the chat room, it's blowing up all the, yes, good fun. Yes, praying for healthy delivery. Praying for life. Absolutely, praying for life. Awesome broadcast. Bless you, Sister Malia. We miss you.
Right.
Yes. Hallelujah. All right, y'all wanna sing anything? No beat?
Louder. Do you love the Most High?
Come on.
His mercy endures forever.
Come on, Goshen, where you at, Ashley? I love y'all.
Bye.